Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Weird News Wednesdays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the strangest news stories from around the world. We talk about the news that the real news is just too afraid to talk about. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. I was really hoping you'd mess up the intro there because I have no funny bit prepared for this week.
That doesn't change anything from any other week, really, when you think about it.
Oh, the funny bit was on your side today.
Yes! This is Weird News, Sean. What do we do here?
You have spent the week gathering all of the weirdest news stories from around the world. You're about to read them all out to me, a man who was too busy missing his improv classes to look at any weird news.
No, but, you keep saying...
It's the key to comedy is denial.
How was your day? Let's just start with that. If we could ease you into a bit if you want, me and the listeners, if you want to have a springboard.
I suppose we can try. Work was busy. We're a little understaffed at the minute, I suppose.
Any funny anecdotes?
Funny anecdotes. I went to the shop. I bought some dishwasher tablets. And the lady said, do you know what I do is I take two out and I leave them aside for emergencies. And I'm like, okay.
I wasn't with you with that story until the psychopath dishwasher lady showed up.
I didn't have time because there was other people in the shop, so I didn't have time to delve into it. But that's psychopath behaviour, right?
That's one of those where you're just about to walk away and then you turn around and just throw up the finger. Sorry. You're going to have to Columbo her. One more question.
I'm like muscling people in the queue aside. It's like, I need to sort this.
What did you mean by that? What did you like shaking her?
Because if I'm hiding dishwasher tablets, I know where they're hidden, so I'll just use them like regular, surely.
But yeah, just leave them in. Why are you putting them in the cupboard? Just leave them there. Like, who's going to rob them?
I also feel, and this doesn't make sense, but if I take them out of the packet that they're sealed in, they're going to go bad somehow. Is that correct?
My dish. It's like milk.
It's like milk.
I leave my dishwasher tablets in the fridge. Just in case.
Okay, picture this. You go to someone's house for the first time. You open the fridge to get a drink of juice. There's just dishwasher tablets.
What's the strangest place they could put a dishwasher tablet in a stranger's house? Like, you go to visit your friend.
Yeah.
Like, I go to visit you. And I'm just like, oh, I'm in the kitchen, just walking around, like, oh, do you want some? And you're like, oh, yeah, no, grand, take whatever you want.
Yeah.
I open something, I know what it is. And then there's a moment where I have to be like, should I bring it up in like a jokey situation or do I just leave?
Because it feels purposeful that they're put there, like.
The microwave.
The microwave, I was thinking, would be a weird one.
You open the fucking microwave, there's just a big box of dishwasher tablets. I mean... I suppose they're in a container, but why are they here in a pyramid?
I suppose you're never using both at the same time, really, are you? Like,
Sean, this is weird news. We haven't done anything about the weird news, but I'm glad you had that one anecdote that somehow worked out.
It turned into comedy somehow.
I don't know how. But Sean, just before we get into the stories this week, next week, if anyone doesn't know, is our 5-year anniversary of the show. Pretty big deal. And to celebrate, we are having a Patreon hangout, a listener hangout, in which all the patrons will get an invite to the just a Google Meet. And we will jump on and we'll all just have a bit of a shit talk for a few hours just to kind of celebrate and have a chat with everyone and just kind of hang out with people and just kind of have fun. So if you would be interested in getting an invite to one of them, you can either become a patron for $2 a month or $5 a month, whichever way you'd like. The link is down below. But we also then, if people specifically email me, it's kind of a pick and choose thing. There's only so many
or
spots.
Or email me. That's also an option.
Nobody email him. And just email here's for hire _outlook.com or on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Basically any of them. Just message us and you will get the invite. But one more thing. We're getting 100 Spotify 5-star reviews before Christmas. We could really use a bit of a help. And that is the goal. So to celebrate our 5-year anniversary, we're doing 100 5-star reviews. Does that work?
Because 5 times 20 is 100. So that's
true.
5 stars, 5 years. True. That's 25. Yeah. Take away 5 because 5's the theme.
Pyramid has 3 sides.
Pyramid has 4 sides technically. An Egyptian pyramid has 4 sides, Connor. The Great Pyramid of Giza has 4 sides.
Doesn't it have 5 sides? It has the 4.
Technically with the bottom, yeah.
Right, but I mean, you're clearly wrong.
I wouldn't say it's self-contained. I'd say the bottom of that is mostly pre-made by the earth.
You in Egypt talking to the lads. You turn up talking to one of the locals. Sorry, I just have a few problems with what you're doing here.
I know, but I'm like full, like Sean Meehan, Heroes for Hire. How many sides does a pyramid have?
Wrong. So Sean, we're going to start off weird news this week I felt like this was perfect for us because scientists in Australia have figured out a way. What is Australia famous for in terms of animals?
Kangaroos.
I would say dangerous things that can kill you.
I would have said kangaroos, but keep going.
Boat. Kangaroos can kill you. They all carry knives.
That's true. They're in the pouch.
In the pouch. They all call their knife Joey. It's a really weird mix of confusion going on. I seen that Attenborough documentary. Scientists use Age of Empires computer game to simulate ant warfare.
That's actually class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Age of Empires, real-time strategy game. You build up a little empire and start fights and hold off other fights.
Yeah,
correct?
The first mission in Age of Empires 2, I think you're William Wallace and you have to go as an army to fight the British.
Yeah, makes sense.
Which as an Irishman, I was like, yeah, I'm all with you, William.
I'm fully on board, William. Say
Willie,
no more.
I'm all in. Where are we going?
Oh, Britain. So, oh, okay. Makes sense.
Good. No offence to the lads. If you're listening from there, no, everything's cool now. Well, it's cool. It's cool.
Most of the people that did all the bad stuff aren't around anymore, so that's fine.
True. Most of them. There's still a few. Most.
There's still one immortal bastard.
Cromwell. What a prick. Australia's National Science Agency, CSIRO, and the University of Western Australia have started using Age of Empires to simulate ant warfare to figure out how to help native ant species fight their invasive counterparts.
Why are they on the side of one particular ant? Just because they're a native species, I suppose.
But I suppose Australia has always had like a very strict like animals coming in policy.
Yeah, because it's like when Pangaea separated fucking a billion years ago or whatever.
Fucking hell. You start any story with when Pangaea separated,
Then like there was a lot of stuff just locked off from the past, essentially. Mm. And then very few humans lived and settled there until it became a prison colony. Australians, I'm really sorry if I'm glossing over a bunch of stuff.
And do we want to blame any specific country for that?
Could we ever?
Cromwell, you prick.
There's a reason a lot of Irish and Australians have similar surnames.
I love the people in England like, oh, what do you say fuck me for? I'm just going about my day.
Oh, look into it. Also, the famine. No,
we're not getting into wars.
Not today.
Right? you are correct. But also, ants are one of the few groups of animal species in which warfare resembles human warfare, they said, in terms of scale and mortality. Fucking hell.
Because there's ant, ants don't call it this, but there's like ant generals. Yeah. And like foot soldiers and stuff like
yeah.
that.
So and are the generals in the war as well, or are they just kind of pointed?
No, they're up their sleeveys, Connor.
Using the game, the researcher team built armies and battlegrounds of different sizes and shapes and watched them fight and then mapped out the results. We formed small groups of strong soldiers and we opposed them to increasingly larger groups of weaker soldiers, said the doctors. And while it may seem fun to play the game, they said it wasn't as entertaining as you think, as they had to set up the same scenarios over and over and over again, thousands of times, running in very repetitive fashion, not interfere, and then they just needed to figure out a way of they needed to figure out the concept of the natives versus the invasives and what would happen in that scenario.
I get that. Part of me is because that takes a while. It takes a while for those games to actually run and give you the data. Does the time that takes over all these times that they ran this experiment, is that somehow shorter than making a program from scratch that just tells you the answer?
Well, Age of Empires already exists.
It does already exist, that's the thing, but it's like...
You would have to create the program and then do the exact same tests.
Just make Age of Empires without graphics, and surely it'll be faster.
For the study, the team looked specifically at the large native Australian meat ants, everyone's favourite meat ant.
I'm going to look these small... up because I guarantee they're horrifying.
and the small non-native Argentine ants. So the Argentinians have come
in. How the fuck did they get over from Argentina?
Tell you that's a long swim, but they're after coming across and they're fucking the lads up.
Confirmed. These ants are disgusting. I hate them.
I've seen the animated movie Ants. They all seem really nice in that.
I've seen the animated movie Bug's Life, which also has ants in it. I always get confused.
But they're mean? No, they're nice in that one as well.
The ants are fine. The ants are always the heroes.
It's weird that those movies came out within a year of each other.
It is. It's like The Prestige and that other magic film.
That other prestige movie.
The other prestige.
The armies created in the game behaved in a simple, predictable and quantifiable way, allowing mathematical models of warfare to emerge with the Australian meat ants and the non-native Argentine ants. The researchers then conducted laboratory experiments with ants and compared the models to the messy real-world examples using actual ants that behaved unpredictably. So it allows you to identify points of commonality and the differences between Age of Empires and ants.
Do you know what this is? They've done Ant Moneyball, where all the data suggests one solution, but then individuals are different, Connor. It all comes down to the man on the
day. Would you like to know the results?
Oh, I would indeed.
For all of your ant armies. So they found small armies of strong soldiers did better in complex terrain-based battlefields, and large armies of weaker soldiers did better in simple open battlefields. Now, I could have fucking told you that before you began.
Lads, there was this thing called the Vietnam War that was essentially shut down by guerrilla warfare.
So you're telling me a lad in the hill has a better chance of shooting me than me running up that hill, shooting up? Is that what you're saying to me? Even though I have 10 lads more.
But if we're on a big open field, more men beats less men. Basically.
Have you ever seen a zombie movie? They always win on flat ground, it's but once you get into the terrain, it's sheer numbers. You'll get overrun.
Fuck. What a waste of time this experiment was.
I thought you'd be interested. Well, for ants, a simple battlefield would be a footpath or an urban park, and a complex battlefield would be a bushland strip with undergrowth, small bushes and woody debris. So they want to develop new approaches to habitat management, like adding undergrowth or environmental complexivity back into like towns so that the ants have Holy a chance shit. When the Argentinian lads show up.
That's actually really cool that they're like, no, we'll give them like the territorial advantage.
Yeah, so they're adding the territory to the fight that they know is happening. So the Argentinian lads are currently walking around biker jackets, obviously.
Of course.
Baseball bats, fucking people up. These lads are just adding in terrain so the small little lads from Australia have a better chance of surviving.
Wouldn't it be gas if, like, you were about to go to war and you just dropped a load of fully grown trees and rocks and shit all over the battleground? It's like, right, now it's on our terms.
We live in the trees.
There was a thing in World of Warcraft ages ago where there was this event where, like, if you went into this place and got killed by this enemy, you got, like, a blood plague, it was called. And if you interacted with another player, you would spread it. And it became, like, this whole fuck... It became a pandemic. And, like, scientists researched how it operated in the game to understand epidemiology in the real world.
What?
And a lot of that shit was brought into, like, the COVID research that happened.
See, nowadays, a lot of people would be like, it doesn't exist, bro.
Doesn't exist. I would simply log off, actually.
And your character's just, like, bleeding everywhere. Bleeding from their fucking eyes. And they're like, well, I don't have it. I'm telling you now.
Well, at least I have my free speech.
Now to go talk to some children.
Now to go cough on some infants.
They're spending millions of dollars on this to try and figure out a way, but I love the fact...
How much does Age of Empires cost, like?
$7.99.
Yeah, it's
but, like,
Steam
you have to get
sale.
The lads in to do it. But, like, I think Australia has, they've fixed it now. I think we should do this for all animals. But Australia has the most killer animals, so let's just do it for, like, all animals that are, like, they're getting invaded. We should have done a red squirrel, gray squirrel on Age of Empires.
Give all the red squirrels little guns and shit like that. Like, or spears.
What terrain would suit the red squirrel? Now, if you want to tell people about the red squirrel, gray squirrel warfare that occurred here.
Ireland famously had the red squirrel. That was our particular breed of squirrel that we had. The grey squirrel was introduced from another country. We're not going to speak about it. And
Cromwell, you bastard!
Grey squirrel overran the red squirrel population. I think it was endangered at one point. But I think they are making a comeback now. But the grey squirrels were just more aggressive and stole more food from the red squirrels. So yeah. The population drastically declined.
So I think this needs to be done on this land. But, like, we need to include grey squirrel, red squirrel situations. And then we need to figure out what terrain the red squirrels win on.
See, this is... the terrain for squirrels is very even, though. Like, across those two. So, because the grey squirrel is
stronger. What if all the terrain was red?
See what colours each squirrel can see a little bit better. That's very true. I was thinking we start juicing the chestnuts. Because it's time of year, conkers are starting to fall from the trees. If we throw a load of creatine in amongst the ones that the red squirrels eat.
So you're saying steroid up the red squirrels?
Yeah. Then just to give them a fighting chance, you know?
They'll be more aggressive then.
Yeah. Like, we've had stories on this show of trained attack squirrels before.
True.
Trained and fucking jacked red attack squirrels. We'd be unstoppable. I mean, they'd be unstoppable.
You're like, I'll be their leader.
Yeah, I'm like, they'll respond to me as the man.
Well, obviously, I'll control them until they eventually overrun me and kill me first.
Obviously, we need one glorious leader among the red squirrels.
Like, one of them will step up and be like, why are we listening to this guy? And then it's over for you. But up until that point, it's going to be fun.
Well, it's going to be clean living up until then.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
You're going to be president of Ireland.
That's I'm announcing, like, despite all of the things that I've said on this show that I recorded, I believe people will vote for me.
I think they'll see my other side. They would clearly tell I was joking.
It was all a bit the whole time.
You're running for candidacy. Your big speech is vote for me or a rain squirrel's going to kill your daughter.
Look, tell me it wouldn't get results, Scott.
Those are the odds, you know what I mean? Look, you might have a daughter, you might not, but he'll find one. He'll find a daughter of you that you know.
My Secret Service is like a load of squirrels in suits with little earphones plugged in.
Then I would obviously have to run with the grey squirrels as my candidates.
You're taking the grey. Why are you running against me? Why do you suddenly have to be involved?
Because in you're the squirrel overlord going to kill everyone.
And you deem it. And you don't think you're with me in this quest? What is that?
I'll be first killed.
Oh, I feel betrayed. Yeah. You should take out the competition, like.
Like, you would 100% be like, we're taking Connor out first because he can take me down from the inside.
100%. But it would happen like Macbeth or something where I'd kill you and then I'd try and do the podcast with a squirrel and it wouldn't be the same.
Squirrel, just terrible at intros. Known to be terrible at intros. Gets nervous on the mic.
Terrible at being, let's be honest, the main host of the show. He's not doing any fucking research for Weird News.
You shout at a squirrel over Google Meets.
Yeah, it's still not in person. It's like,
did you not check fucking Google before you started doing the show, lad? Fuck's sake, Timothy.
Do a little bit of work, Tim.
Fuck's sake. And you didn't even look anything up, no. It's your week for Hero Zero, lad. Do you know any DC characters? No.
Nightwing, there's one. Work on
I'm
him.
I'm not doing Squirrel Girl again, right? I did her last week. Fuck off.
You always request that. It's weird.
We're going to have to move on to our next piece of news, Sean. And I have the perfect story for you, right? Because I know you love aliens.
I do love aliens.
And I have rock solid proof that I'm going to need you to Google to get an image, right? But we have rock solid proof that aliens exist, other than all the other rock solid proof that we've had in the past month that aliens exist.
Yeah, we've all seen that stuff interests me. Statue.
I don't like any of that stuff. That stuff bores me. But this one caught my eye because, I mean, this is very similar to like our Loch Ness Monster stories, our Bigfoot stories. Rock solid
indisputable
facts. Indisputable facts. Family who saw 10-foot aliens in their gardens have doubled down on the claim with sketches that they have given to the police, Sean.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And they've provided these sketches themselves as well, which is how you know. It's first-hand information.
It's literally a witness account from their sketches. So this is a Las Vegas family.
Vegas, you say?
Las Vegas.
City of truthers, they call it.
So they've seen the aliens all the way back in May of this year. They called 911. This then didn't go anywhere. So they were waiting all these months for the police to take control, sort this out. Yeah. It's not gone anywhere. They've gone public, Sean. They've now taken it upon themselves to go and do an interview with the US news magazine show Inside Edition.
Right, so mainstream media has failed them.
No, the police have failed them.
The police, excuse me. Mm. Okay, and what do they say on the show, Connor?
Well, I mean, look, they say that they seen enormous grey aliens in their back garden after a light fell from the sky. Right? Now, look, they said they called 911. Their eldest son called 911. Their eldest son is called Angel. And called 911 to tell them about the 2 10-foot-tall creatures standing outside in the back garden. I mean, creepy.
It's a tough opener for a 911 call.
An officer's body cam had even captured a bright ball of light glowing in the sky night over Nevada City shortly beforehand, leading colleagues to investigate a call they would usually otherwise ignore.
Okay, so there was enough weird shit going on that night that they were like, okay, we'll check it out.
But
wasn't
now
that U2 concert inside that weird sphere thing, was that?
What do you think about that?
I don't like that it exists, but I think it's cool. Am I allowed to...
be- It's going to be the worst place ever. It's got to be the worst place ever for a concert. Like,
the sound would just bounce all around. Like, I don't know how it sounds.
The acoustics would be atrocious. Now, I could see, like, I don't know, a sporting event or some, or a cinema, make it a movie, sit down and watch something. That'd be really cool.
It'd be really cool. Like, I feel like, UFC or boxing or wrestling or that kind of thing would be unreal in the sphere.
That'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, but like a music, where it's like a stage to be viewed from one angle, I don't think that works very well.
Mm. Anyway. I just wanted your opinion. There's not, that's not to do with the Kenmores and the aliens. But they talked about what they saw, right?
Yeah.
And now they've kind of come out with the magazine, finally, to try and get their story out there. And the images were produced by 16-year-old Angel and his dad, Bobby. Now, when I say images, I don't mean photos.
No. We mean the way that the Sistine Chapel was created.
Yeah.
These are
like
images.
Think of Da Vinci. Would you describe, like, his stuff is basically real. Like, that's, everyone knows that.
Yeah, the Vitruvian Man. The example of humanity, drawn by hand.
But now we have Angel and his dad, Bobby, and they were asked to draw depictions of the aliens. And they did, Sean. And I don't know if you've seen the sketches.
I'm looking at them right now, Connor.
Yeah. And, I mean, they probably have a very strong impact on you emotionally. You probably can't really talk. But, like, to me, it was like I was right fucking there. Like, watching these, looking at these drawings, I'm like, how did the police not believe you? Why did this not go further?
For the sake of an interesting discussion, what I'd like to do, Connor, is I'd like to play the part of a man who doesn't believe this is real. If that's permissible within the show.
But you've seen the photos, right?
My own personal views aside, I think for the sake of discussion. I should think that these aliens aren't real. Okay,
well then, at that point, could you describe the photo then from your new platform that's clearly wrong?
Well, it's interesting because it looks like what they've done is smudged a load of pencil around on paper and then crudely drawn an outline of the most standard alien you can possibly imagine.
They kind of drew a stick man, really.
Essentially, yeah, a vaguely human. Also, they say 10 feet. There's no sense of scale in this photo.
Yeah.
Like,
they should have drawn a house beside him, just so we know.
Yeah, or a regular man, perhaps. Like,
clever. But you couldn't draw a regular man because it looked too similar to the alien.
That's, but 4 foot shorter, perhaps.
Ah, you know? You're right. You're right, Jess. No. Now, look, they both drew these aliens. Bobby's sketch, the dad, has a wide head, a long neck, and ears reminiscent of the beloved ogre Shrek. I don't know why that's there.
Is he beloved? I suppose he is.
They look like ears, he told the Inside Edition reporter, but they have these antenna like lights on the side of their head. So they look like ears, but they're not ears. Bobby's told us that. Meanwhile, Angel's depiction has a long head and one bizarrely bent leg. The teenager also spent time furiously smudging his pencil marks to make the skin colour. A third drawing by his youngest son Joshua is not shown in the report. Never told how old Joshua is. Could be shit. But to be honest, the other two photos, they made me believe. Which one am I, Mulder or Scully?
You're Mulder, I'm Scully.
Yeah. Okay, I'm all in. I think this is the most accurate depiction I've ever seen of an alien.
And I think this is, the smudges on the pencil one is the toughest sell as evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you'll agree on that even as the believer. It's like, artistically, it's an odd choice for the alien. Like, he's trying to save pencil graphite.
Now, look, I don't know if you believe me up until this point, Sean, but what if I told you that 3 days after the incident, Bobby claims that he saw a government car containing men in black who came to investigate. With a completely straight face, he said, "We see these three guys driving a black Suburban with US government plates on it. They were passing around. We're in the garage." And we went to them. They just drove away after they walked towards them. Sean, what does that mean, huh? Why would you do that if, for example, there wasn't an alien there? Clearly was. That's why they're there. Go on.
Surely there's government officials in Nevada, though. Like, it's not just some lawless place completely, like, separate from the United States.
But everyone knows you can't own a black car unless you're a police official. Everyone knows that.
Or you're either a police official or a villain in a Hollywood movie.
No, there's never just one car in a Hollywood movie. There's always four in a row.
Oh, that's how we know. And they do a bit where you think it's one following them and then they spread out on the motorway.
And the bad guy's always in the middle one.
You better believe it.
The front and back, they're blowing up. The good guys are going to get them, but the middle
ones... You better believe one of those is flipping.
It's always, I would say the second one always gets flipped. First one always veers out of the way, the second one flip.
Yeah, it's a veer, then they use the rocket launcher to make a veer, then there's a whole improvised weapon to make the car flip, and then there's only one left and they get a lucky shot at the driver.
Yeah, of course. And then the bad guy hops out, he's like, oh fuck, and then you have the big face off at the end. I'm not just writing the movie, that's what happens.
We're essentially AI at this point, because we've seen every movie.
Now, look, Sean, if they weren't aliens there, why would there be a government official showing up 3 days later all in black to try and figure it out, huh? Explain that.
Are they being investigated by the government for other reasons, perhaps?
Tax evasion.
That could be it. It's the IRS. They get lovely cars.
Yeah. Now, look, their view has now basically been viewed over a million times. Includes footage filmed by his mother, which is stung. So they do have footage filmed by the mother on the night in question.
Right.
However, unfortunately, now I am Mulder, so
of course
I'm all in. It was just an accident. Accidentally.
Pardon? Say again?
It was accidentally.
I see. Continue.
That's my Mulder impression. But the filmed footage of the night in question, Sean. Now look.
Oh.
You thought this was all made up, but there's footage.
I'm back on board, because I didn't know we had clear footage of these aliens, Connor.
Well, the footage, I mean, it captures the night.
And what's within the night? What's significant about the night?
Well, that's the night that they've seen the aliens.
Oh, so the aliens are on film, is what you're saying.
No, the aliens, they don't really capture the aliens, the 10-foot aliens, but they do capture the evening in question.
I assume it was a lovely evening up until the alien invasion happens.
Yeah, it's up until the moment that the aliens appear, and then the filming begins again moments after they leave.
Moments after, but the aliens remained around long enough for three members of the families to reproduce accurate sketches of the aliens.
I wouldn't say accurate, but yes, they did stick around long enough.
The drawings aren't accurate, is what you're
saying. Sorry, hang on, no, did I say that?
Yeah, you did. You did, in fact.
Your Honor, play back the tape. So now look, Sam Hidari, who's the family's attorney, he's come out, right? Big Sam has been called in because they're getting fucking shit from all sides. The police are telling them they're wasting their time. They're pushing back, saying you are clearly hiding this very obvious government cover-up that's going on here for these aliens. But the family attorney has come out and said they didn't want that publicity. The only thing they did was report it to the police, and the police have made them a laughing stock by calling it out. However, Sam immediately loses all credibility with the last line of this article, and I love this journalism. He said, he's just asked one follow-up question by the journalist, which was, asked for his thoughts on the story. He responded, I believe that they believe that it was real.
Oh, it's a tough look as a lawyer to be like, look, I'm doing my fucking job here, man. Like,
I believe that they believe that they're innocent. It isn't that I believe that they're innocent.
Yeah. He essentially is like, look, I got paid. That's all you need to know.
I just wanted you to see the sketches of this story, because I feel like this blew the case wide open. And once those sketches came online, I mean, it was all over for these aliens. We know exactly what they look like.
Oh, 100%. Like, and weirdly, they look like every science fiction representation of aliens we've ever seen.
Yeah. What if one alien just came down and looked like, I don't know, fucking a mailbox? Or like Tom Hanks?
Well, this is the thing. Well, if it looked like Tom Hanks, I'd be like, oh, you've been here the whole time. I'd be like, Mr. Hanks, come here.
Yeah, but it's not Mr. Hanks. Mr. Hanks is also there, but he's not. That's not Mr. Hanks. You have a Skrull situation then.
And then it's like, who do I shoot? And I shoot both of them just to be safe.
How do you explain that to the public? Don't worry, guys, I shot Tom Hanks.
But also, someone who might have been Tom Hanks or not. I don't know.
I've got good news and bad news.
The only thing I can say for sure is Tom Hanks is definitely dead.
I'm like, you're a liar, like, just stop talking.
I keep going. And another thing,
I'm glad he's dead. Tom Hanks specifically, the nicest man in the world.
What if aliens did just look like us? Because if life only develops on a planet exactly like Earth, surely they would look like us based on evolution.
I think they'd have different evolved features.
So like if there was less gravity, they'd be taller. And stuff like
that. Yeah, or something like, imagine an alien came down, but it was like 9 foot or 19 feet tall. Like, we'd be dead. Like, we'd be fucked already. But
yeah, I genuinely think the height of the aliens would determine our response to them. Because if they were like 4 foot nothing, everyone's just going to be like, oh, look at the aliens. They're class. Yeah, they're sound. They're nice guys. But then if they were like 18 feet tall and jacked, It suddenly we're under attack, you know?
They just kept finding a load of conkers and eating them in Ireland. Fucking hell, we're jacked.
Turns out all aliens are squirrels. We're the weird ones.
So it's always there for them. It was always in front of us. We didn't see it. Sean, I'm going to move on to another story that's not kind of aliens, but right up your alley. Enigmatic fairy circles have been detected in hundreds of arid areas of the planet.
Fuck me. Okay, we're back onto fairies. This is excellent news.
Yeah. For decades, ecologists and botanists have been intrigued by a strange phenomenon, Sean. In several desert areas in Namibia, vegetation clears out, creating circular patches on the ground. Patches that, seen from the air, appear to be organized into hexagons. Sean.
Dude, okay. Hexagons appear so often in nature and it's fucking wild that such a perfect geometric shape keeps popping up.
Yeah. And they're called fairy circles.
They are called fairy circles. Fairy circles. So in Ireland, fairy circles are such a significant thing that major national roadworks have been diverted around them so that we don't disrupt the fairies.
Mm.
Like, if the thinking is that if you stand in a fairy circle, the fairies get pissed off at you, and either you're stuck in the circle or you're condemned to dance for all eternity. Those are the two variations of the story that you get. And people love, like, because there was one near where we went to college, and I went with a few, like, Erasmus students. And people love being like, oh, I'm going to stand in it. And I'm a little bit of a skeptic myself, but I'm still like, no.
Stop lying. Don't lie that you're a skeptic, because I know the truth.
I'm a bit of a skeptic. I will never fuck with fairies. Because
that's what you've told me many a time, that you won't fuck. You've said that completely off topic. We've just been saying, oh, what's going on? You've said, I will not fuck with fairies. First and foremost,
because they'll get you. They'll find you.
But how?
They have their ways, Connor. They're of another realm.
Have you known anyone to ever be gotten by a fairy?
I've known people that have changed personalities.
Oh, that's from the drugs.
Could be the drugs. Yeah, actually, yeah, now it's all adding up.
That's from the drink. The drink and the drugs.
The drink will change a man.
But, maybe some sort of harrowing personal life story that's changed them as a person. It's probably not from the fucking elves and the fairies.
It's probably not, but I don't. It's like horoscopes, right? Whereas that, like, I want to believe it's a thing because I think that's a little bit cool and fun and magical in life, as opposed to everything else.
you're of the opinion that you want to believe. I respect that.
Now I can respect that. Yeah.
I'm the Scully. We swap. I'm always like, no, I think it'd be fucking amazing. If we could predict what would happen next month based off when I was born, that would be fucking ideal for me.
I would do so much with that.
I know exactly what was coming up. And it'd be great. Just the vagueness of it is what kind of, it's not great. I need more specifics.
That's true. Okay. Would you stand in a fairy circle then?
Yeah.
Really? That's wild to me. I would never go near one.
Do you remember when you said you were a skeptic?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's getting thinner and thinner by the day, isn't it?
Talking shit. You're like, oh, fuck, you'll die if you stand in that circle, lad. So I'm only bringing this story up because it's been found that they have found so many sites in the past few months that I felt like you needed to know that there's more and more of these sites being found.
Look, I'm glad they're on the rise, do you know, because maybe it'll change things and we'll all be nicer to each other. Connor,
how would that change? How would that mean people would be nicer, just in fear of fairies?
In fear of that's genuinely why, like, the fairy myths are a thing, because it was like, no, it was to children being like, don't right. fuck around or the fairies will get you.
Did you ever get told that story when you were young?
Heaps of times.
Okay, I feel like now we're getting to the bottom of what's happened here. Okay,
if someone, and if someone's like a little bit, and I've been called this myself, is that it's, oh, he's away with the fairies. That's like a little phrase in Ireland of just being like, he's just a bit fucking odd. Like,
yeah.
Also, do you know how to get out of a fairy circle if you're ever stuck?
Oh, you've told me this before. Hang on.
It's mad that I've told you this before.
It's bad that you've told me. I didn't take it in. I feel like I would die. But, well, if this is true, but is it like saying something backwards or like turning around five times or something? I don't know.
You're close with the backwards thing. You have to turn your clothes inside out. And that's how you get out of it. Or if you have breadcrumbs in your pockets, you drop those and you can leave.
Ah, yes. The old breadcrumb in the pocket trick. You know, I've always got a bit of breadcrumb in my pocket, just in case.
Just for safety, you know, just in case.
Oh, no, I just have a sliced pan. Better do some punching.
I've got a full Subway 12-inch meatball marinara here.
I don't want to crush that.
Oh, it won't crumble at all.
I like how you crumble it. It's like, that's not bread, lad.
Yeah, that's cake, actually. You're still stuck
that's
here.
That fucking bread. You're still in that fucking circle, lad, till the day you die. So you're telling me you get stuck in a fairy circle and you immediately have to get maybe done for nudity in a public place and take off all your clothes and turn them all inside out?
Yeah, if you want to leave, that's what has to happen. Same thing, you can get trapped in the woods and you'll just keep walking the same path forever. Clothes inside out, it's the way out of it.
But has anyone ever had that happen?
I think I'm fairly sure we might have had that as a story one time.
No, it was a story of somebody who left, but clearly they were also on drugs.
I'm not on drugs. What are you talking about?
Sometimes I question.
I've had a full sugar coke and two cups of coffee today. That's all.
You did say, before we started recording, he was like, don't worry, I've had a full sugar coke today. And I was like, when? You were like, 2 hours ago. I was like, oh, I'll be pumping through you, so.
Like, it's...
the energy's off the charts.
I've never been... it's going to drop in about 5 minutes, so get the most out of me.
Yeah, the old 2 hours and 35 minute trick. Yes, yes, yes.
I don't have that's how long it lasts. Coke that often. It's weird to me.
What are you on? The Diet Cokes?
I do the Diet Cokes, to be honest now. I'm a bit of a fiend for those.
Yeah, and if anyone doesn't know, Sean's been going hard in the gym recently, so now, like, Connor, these Diet Cokes, I found it out, Sean's been going hard.
Out of me.
It's annoying now that you're jacked to the gills. That's ridiculous.
I thought it'd be really funny if I was the strong one on the show.
I don't like that. I don't like it at all, because you know my brain doesn't work because of concussions.
Because of all the concussions you've had.
I keep getting hit in the head.
Zero concussions.
I didn't play sport for years. Free of concussions.
and soon to be jacked, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you know, just everyone keep up with Sean and his jacked journey. It's going to be good. The jacked journey. Sean's shredded journey.
the SSJ, of course.
The SSJ, of course. Do you know what I've been doing recently? This is completely off topic. I just said I should tell you this. And then I was like, oh, well, fuck it, it's under it. Like, who cares, right? You know the way I love watching people react to things that I like? That's my new thing.
You like seeing people enjoy things. That's great.
If I enjoy something, I find people who are watching it for the first time, and then I want them to have the same reaction. If they don't, then it annoys me.
Oh, you've turned it around a little bit now.
Like, it's a bit sinister now. No, well, just because I found out I found one or two people that didn't like both the Batman and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and I was like, what are you doing?
They're no friends of yours, Connor. Like, you know,
no friends of mine. I've moved on to music now as well. Right?
Interesting.
And so I am watching Steve Perry in Journey, right? He's one of my favourite singers of all time. Journey, an amazing band. But their song Mother Fodder, right? Yeah. They do it live in Houston in like 1980 or 81
or
something.
So fucking niche.
So specific, right? There's one performance that he does of that song that's outrageously good, right? And my new thing is I find people who react to that, and I'm telling you now, it gives you life, Sean, because they're at the start, they're like, all right, yeah, cool, it's Journey. Like, Don't Stop Believing, that's grand.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Steve Perry is like, I'm going to say top three male singers of all time. Like, one of the fucking
insane
best
vocalists, such a good range.
His nickname is The Voice. That's his literal nickname.
That's a premium show on TV.
So, named after him, apparently. But they always last about 10 seconds. And then there's a 10-second bit where he comes in, and then the fucking eyebrows shoot up and they're like, oh shit, I wasn't familiar with your game.
I wasn't aware I was about to have my mind blown. How about this? On the 5-year anniversary, do you want me to react to that?
I think that'd be great. I think we should play it and everyone should react.
That would be excellent.
It's just random. I just get these random things like, it'd be some laugh to watch somebody else watch that show, because I'm like, that was a fucking great performance. I bet somebody's been going to be shocked by that. It's always like, first time listening to Journey, don't know who the fuck these guys are.
Yeah. And then it's like, because you've had the experience the first time reacting to it, and you can never recapture that.
Because I burst out laughing, because I was like, nobody should be able to do that. So then I was like, oh, we need to get this other people. But there was even one that was a vocal coach that was reacting.
Oh,
and everyone was
those.
Like, what the fuck is he doing? They were like, because normally they have like, in those videos, they're like, oh, they try and teach you. And there was one video of like this one coach where he did like a minute or two into the song and they just stopped and they're like, yeah, you actually can't teach anything that he's doing. That's just natural.
None of this.
That's just
you
talent.
You have to be born, you have to be built different to do
like,
this.
We can train you to be slightly good, but there's no, you can't do that. Whatever he's doing, no, can't do that.
That's just him.
I would recommend it. I think that's great. But that's just a random story that you should know, Sean. But
I will watch that on October the 14th, around about 1 p.m. or so.
Is that when the listener hangout was happening?
God, I do think it clashes, actually. So, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Do you remember that time we showed up late to our own listener hangout? That was fun.
Rough. That was bad on our part, to be fair.
I thought we organised it for half, but we actually organised it for quarter past. And we were on a different call talking to each other or just chatting.
We were getting ready to jump in and be like, hey, how's it going?
But there's people sitting there.
Also getting ready to jump in and be like, hey, how's it going?
Sean, we're going to have to move on to our next piece of news. And, I'm debating what to cover next. I do have a terrible technology thing that I do find funny when I bring up to you.
I also
just have a story of a lad being a shithouse.
I do like both of those. I will say, I saw a guy on YouTube got those shoes that make you walk faster and did a full review.
You knew
them.
About them first before anyone else.
We were in on the ground floor. They're terrible, by all
what
accounts.
What are you talking about?
They don't work. They physically don't work.
I mean, they do. They do. Told me they do work.
It's by Drew Gooden on YouTube.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Drew myself,
big fan of Drew. He's one of the nicest men on YouTube.
He's a nice man. Big on Vine.
Big on Vine back in the day.
It's weird how our algorithms are the same. Are we the same moron?
I think we might be. I mean, we're both jacked, so.
I told you about my brain thing. I'm not jacked. Not anymore. Me looking out a window and it's like raining.
I used to be with it. They changed what it was.
Is it the children who are wrong or me? Well, no, it must be the children.
The children.
Sean, I'm going to do the shithouse because I have German museum employee swaps painting for fake and sells original to fund luxury lifestyle.
Dude, if you can achieve that, do it.
So a German museum employee has swapped out a painting with a fake and then sold the original to buy stuff, including a Rolls Royce and expensive watches, according to the Munich court.
See, so, you gotta, like, pace yourself with the purchases.
Yeah.
Because, like, it just looks suspicious otherwise.
The 30-year-old man, who remains unnamed, was also convicted of stealing three other artworks that he was also going to sell on and replaced each one of them with a fake.
That's... has to be the long con, though. Like, you don't get into the museum business and then decide to steal, surely.
So he was given a 21-month suspended sentence in order to pay back the museum more than 60,000 euros. In a press release published on Monday, the Munich District Court said its sentencing took into account that the man had confessed and shown genuine remorse for his shithousery. Now, here's the thing. I feel like he might be telling some lies or fibs.
Yep, because if you had genuine remorse, you wouldn't have three other paintings ready to go, would you?
So, I mean, if you got the job at the museum and then you stole the painting and then you replaced it with a fake painting of the exact same one, then you went about selling that painting on the black market for money, which you bought Rolls Royces and watches with, and then you stole another tree and replaced all three of them with fakes. You'd move from one to three on the next stage of the plan. He then said, "I acted without thinking," and he could no longer explain his behaviour.
That kind of operation requires a lot of thought by design.
Yeah.
He was intimately involved in the thinking process for this.
So this is between, I think this happened in like 2018, so they're only getting to court now.
Jesus.
During that time, he stole The Tale of the Frog Prince by Franz von Stuck, replaced it with a fake, and put the original one up for auction. He lied to the Munich auction house, saying the painting had once belonged to his grandparents. It later sold to a gallery for $74,000, or 70,000 euros, and the man received 50,000 euros in cash after the auction fees were deducted. He then also stole three other paintings from the museum's storage facility and successfully sold two of them on as well. One of the works was sold via auction and was purchased for 12 grand, and he used the money to pay off debts and fund a luxurious lifestyle.
Would you not, like, how are they getting sold so easily? Because surely they can check and see, oh, this is currently in this museum.
I thought that as well. I thought it was like a system that you'd be like, well, this is clearly stolen.
Yeah, like if I rock up to like the local car boot sale with the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, they're going to ask like, questions.
They're going to be like, one, we banned you from here. Why are you back? And then two, where did you get the Mona Lisa? That's in the Louvre.
Don't bring those red squirrels back here.
Sean, we keep telling you.
You're like, the red squirrels painted it. They were high on steroids.
They're very talented. They have so much energy.
I gave them LSD. This is what they did.
They wrote a Beatles album. It's weird.
So the museum meanwhile told CNN that it is making efforts to recover the painting. So it still has not recovered the painting, Sean.
So if you're the person that buys those paintings, what happens to you? Like, because
I don't know if you, because they would have to be able to prove that you knew it was stolen at the time of purchase, which would be very hard to do unless there was a paper trail of you going, I know it's stolen, but by God, I'm going to buy it anyway.
Yeah, like if you just play the part of like, oh, I'm just someone who likes a nice painting and this is what it cost, then surely you get to keep ownership of it, but it goes back to the museum. Would that be fair?
No, because legally he never owned it to sell it to you.
But this is the question of, like, if I buy stolen goods that I don't know are stolen, are they mine?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
But how am I compensated?
You're telling me, right? I break into a house,
yeah.
I steal a big flat screen TV,
yeah,
and then next week I sell you a big flat screen TV.
And I, in all good conscience, do not know that it's a stolen TV.
But if the police track that TV down to your house, they say this was stolen, it was bought under false pretenses, it's going back to the family who owns it.
I don't think it should.
You're doing the finder's keeper's rule.
It's not even the finder's keeper's rule, it's the I fucking bought it rule. So who's paying me for the money that I spent on that TV?
But they'll give you the money back.
Who is going to?
I suppose the guy who's going to jail has to give you the money.
I'm not
going to
trust him. He's a thief.
Well, like, I'm assuming the money will come back to you, surely, because it's not yours to have.
Is it the insurance company?
Maybe the insurance. I don't know the ins and outs. I assume, but all I know is that TV is going back to the people who originally bought it. You can't just buy something if they don't want to sell it, and they've already bought it.
Okay, so say, and I think we might have talked about this before, but say my uncle robs a bank, right?
Why did we talk about this before? Your uncle's always up to some fucking shady
he's,
shit.
He's up to something. Look,
yeah,
long hours. You have to pass him something.
Fingers McGee, we call him. Go on.
That is his name. It's a different last name. If he robs a bank, gives me a tenner and I buy a lotto ticket with that money and I win the jackpot, do I get to keep that jackpot money?
Interesting. Now, that's a very niche version of what we've been talking about.
It's a very
about.
Specific circumstance. That's
to help you
up.
In your argument. Yes, yeah. I understand what you're doing here.
And I don't know that money's stolen. It's given to me as a birthday gift, perhaps. And I buy a lotto ticket with that money.
No, I think you could give them back 10. You give them back the 10... And you get to keep the money from the lottery ticket because technically you also have... You could have paid for it with a different 10. They would have to prove that you had literally zero in your bank account
right.
when you bought that.
I get you. Okay. So that I would be expected out of my winnings to pay back the 10 that my uncle stole.
But if you won like $5 billion, yeah, I mean, like, it'd be fine to pay back $10.
Right. What if I... Okay, so say...
You're fighting the 10.
No, out of principle. But say, here's a situation, right? My uncle robs from a charity, right?
Oh, no. Fingers.
No,
what are you doing?
Now, but, robs from a charity, gives me a tenner. I buy a lottery ticket. I win the lottery. Okay? Then, of the winnings... I would donate 10 to the charity already.
$10 or 10%?
$10.
Oh, fuck's sake, okay.
So the charity has already gotten $10 back from the money that was stolen.
Yeah.
Out of my winnings. What happens then? Obviously, I would be expected to give more.
How the fuck am I meant to know what happens then? But all I do know is that's taking the fucking piss. If you won $20 million or €20 million and you're only going to give them back €10 from the fucking charity shop, give them back €2 million and then nothing will be said.
Okay. Say I make my fortune on the lottery after my uncle
Stop
has stolen.
Winning the lottery.
Right? I've done it 3 times now. The crime goes unsolved. All right? My uncle passes away. I pass away. My great-grandson, living large off of my billions at this point. Then it's discovered...
How much did you win?
I invested it very, very well. I put it all in GameStop.
and Apple.
And Apple computers. I bought a load of NFTs.
Good.
Then... Years later, it's discovered that original money that I bought the lottery ticket with was stolen. And that's made public knowledge. Then what happens to my great-grandson?
Fucking hell. Like, what? Why are you asking me?
There's
got to be somebody listening to this. I don't know if there's anyone... in the world that would be able to answer that question of what would... I would assume that once the 20-year thing... It's not illegal anymore.
Statute of limitations.
They can't prosecute anybody in the family or more about something that happened more than 20 or 25 years ago.
Okay, let me hit you with this. All right.
Oh, for God's sake. It's exactly 24 years.
It's exactly...
and 11 months.
No. So, double indemnity, right? You can't be convicted of the same crime twice.
Yes.
So, my uncle gives me a tenner. I buy a lottery ticket.
Your uncle would have gone fuck himself, to be honest with you now.
Unbeknownst to anyone else.
Keep your fucking tenner, uncle.
I don't want it. It's cursed. It's blood money.
Go on.
I buy a lottery ticket. I win the lottery, right? That all goes away. Unbeknownst to everyone else, he gave me another tenner on that same day. When it all comes out about the lottery... and I pay back the original tenner, right? I use that second tenner to buy a new lottery ticket and win again. Then what happens? Statistically unlikely, I grant you.
Statistically, I mean, it's the same day, so it's the same numbers that would win the lottery, so you're just splitting the winnings with yourself.
No, because it's after the original lottery win comes. I win the lottery twice in this scenario.
So in your scenario, you basically win the lottery 2 months running.
Yeah.
Right. With 2 €10 that your uncle gave you, but he robbed them from a charity shop.
Yes, not a charity shop, a full-on charity.
Oh, full on charity. Oh, so like he went into the orphanage like and fucking was punching some kids, took the money off them.
Yeah, they're the guards for the safe for some reason.
Yeah.
And so when the original robbery is revealed, then I give the €10 back from that original winnings, but then I still have a tenner left over. And then I buy another lottery ticket the next month.
But did you go to jail?
No, he went to jail because he robbed the charity. I didn't know.
Yeah, but then you haven't been done with any crime, either time.
No, I've never done a crime in this scenario.
But you can't get double indemnity then, if you've never done a crime.
But can I be punished for his crime twice? Sorry, I want to know.
My ears are bleeding.
It's a concussion, Connor.
It can't be double indemnity if you've never been convicted the first time.
So he can be convicted only once, but I can be convicted twice. I can have to pay another tenner back.
But you haven't been convicted either time. They just were like, oh, would you give us a tenner, lad?
And I'm like, no.
Like, they're not going to take your kneecaps or send you away for 20 years. I'm like, he gave you a tenner, give it back to us.
So I can keep the winnings, apart from a sizeable donation to the charity, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know for no apparent reason.
What the fuck is that going to help you with? You're never going to do that.
Curious, I have a curious mind. I want to learn.
I hate your uncle. He's a fucking prick.
Hey, look now.
I actually think that's literally the end of the show.
No, it's not. Is it? I don't want to end on
you wasted 10 minutes talking about that. We never even got to Florida.
Oh, I'm really sorry. Do you want me to cut that out? Genuinely, do you want me to cut that out?
No, I think it's funnier to leave it in. No, honest to God. Ruined my day. Let's ruin everyone else's.
Everyone's going to know I'm thick as fuck.
So there's a Q&A on Spotify. Could anyone put in their answer as to what you think would happen to Sean after his weird fucking prick of an uncle robs a fucking charity shop?
I just think I'm entitled to something, you know. I don't have to give
you
it all.
You haven't gotten anything.
It's a hypothetical. I'm allowed to ask questions, Connor.
But you just kept changing the hypothetical to suit yourself.
It's called elaborating on. Oh, what if Robin fought the Hulk? Like, none of this matters.
You were asking me with a look in your eye like, you have the answer, go on there.
You're the man. I know you're the man to solve this for me.
Sean, would you like to take us out for another week of Weird News?
Yes, thank you, Connor. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Weird News Wednesday. We will be back on Friday with Hero or Zero. Next Wednesday, Weird News Wednesday. And then Friday, Hero or Zero. And then the live show is on the Saturday. So do message us about that if you want to take part in it. You also get an automatic invite for being a patron, as well as a shout out on the show. So thank you to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Secretly Ed Sheeran Don't Tell Anyone, David Clark, Sean Chucking in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Helmroos, Danny McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost, Ed Ball, Connor and Lorraine are renting a human-sized hamster wheel to see all the ocean ghosts, Russ just working out how to gaslight a load of ants and exploit their natural sense of honour and justice, Parfit. That could have come up in the Australia story earlier, if they were honourable ants. Jackson Bruheim totally understands if Sean and Connor need to take a break and mourn the death of the El Muerto movie. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon. Kira Lawler, Abs Kebabs, Judge Lahey, Killian Cronin and Kyle Borowski. Thank you all very, very much for your continued support. We really appreciate it. Hope to see all of you on the live show on the 14th. If you want to join us, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link to that is in the description. Or there's the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilment's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Cutter Lawler.
And I've won the lottery.
See y'all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.